Today's program is brought to you by the Dairy Farm Families of Wisconsin, the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board. Did you know that today Wisconsin produces more than 600 varieties, types, and styles of American, international style, and original cheese that win more awards than any other state or country? To learn more, visit eatwisconsincheese.com.
Thank you for listening to Heritage Radio Network. We are a member-supported nonprofit food radio station. That means that every single thing we do, from broadcasting 35 weekly shows for free, to bringing you exclusive content from sold-out food events across the country, to offering scholarships to high school students, is only possible thanks to the support of our loyal members. And we want you to join the club. Become a member during our 2017 summer drive to get access to sweet swag and pledge your support to the world's only food radio station. Visit heritageradionetwork.org/donate to become a member now.
This is Diane Stemple on Cutting the Curd in reporting from the ACS convention in Denver, Colorado. I am sitting with Christina Fleming, who has been in the cheese world and now works at a dispensary.
Cannabis boutique.
And I'm interviewing her on the differences and similarities between selling cheese and selling cannabis. First, Christina, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
And I want to know for our listeners, can you tell us your cheese history, your cheese employment history?
Yeah, absolutely. I started off in Louisville, Kentucky. Louisville, for those of you that don't know Louisville. And I started off at Whole Foods there. I was there for about 7.5 years as their cheese buyer. I was able to do an internship with Judy Schott at Capriole, since Southern Indiana is so close to Northern Kentucky. And I had a great time between those two, met Everett Presley, as some of you might know, just actually come into the ACS year after year. He invited me out to New Jersey to work for him at Wine Library. We were partners in crime for a few years there, stayed around. We're kind of partners in crime all of the time, but stayed around there for a few years with him, took over once he moved on to Forever Cheese. And then, yeah, jumped ship on that, too, and ended up at Murray's in New York City. Was there for a great almost 3 years, and here I am in Denver, Colorado. I'm now a cannabis advisor.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay. So I want to know for our many listeners in non-pot states or non-recreational states.
I'm sorry.
How does the store work where you work? How do the laws still affect the usage? How does the store work? Do you have mostly tourists? Can you give us a little blurb about the store?
So I've only been in the cannabis industry for about 4 months now, but it came to me really, really easily between having enjoyed cannabis for the past almost 20 years and then having worked in cheese shops for 13 years. I was just a natural fit. So, it's really interesting. I'm learning the laws and compliancy as we speak, so it's still kind of a gray area for me. It seems like a gray area for most. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of compliancy classes and really just on-the-job training, which the whole on-the-job training, I mean, that's the cheese counter, right? Mm-hmm. Luckily, we have a system that is meant just for marijuana and cannabis industries, and it tells me the legal limits. I can't oversell. But just kind of in a nutshell, I guess the funnest fact is both residents of Colorado and visitors can get an ounce per day. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the biggest laws. And if you get caught smoking
now, an ounce per day is how many joints?
Oh, goodness. Well, it depends on if you like small pinners or if you cones or blunts. Okay. But when it comes down to it, it is 28 grams. And an eighth, which is probably what most of us are used to buying, is about 3.5 grams.
Okay. So tell us how, what surprised me in doing research for this interview. I did go to a few marijuana stores, and it's like a fancy drugstore.
Oh, absolutely.
First of all, you have to wait online. You have to show your ID. It's very serious feeling. And there's a waiting room. And then you go in to the dispensary, and you are waited on by your own person who seems to not be rushing and to be answering all your various questions. Is that how they all work? Is that how yours works?
That's definitely how ours works. You know, as someone who has been purchasing since a little before I moved out here, when we would visit, and then pretty much the entire time I've been here, to be honest, I was traveling so much that my fiancé would go and buy it, so he probably has more experience in different dispensaries. Mm-hmm. But from my understanding, not all dispensaries are the same. There's a lot of corporate. There's a lot of people that kind of treat you like cattle. Get in, get out. We want your money. We know you're tourists. And then there's places like Lucy Sky, where I work. We take our job seriously. We help the customers one-on-one. If you need 6 minutes with us, that's great. If you need 66 minutes with us, that's great. It's always our pleasure. So, at least in my experience, or at least what I like to emulate, it really is customer-focused.
Are there still purely medicinal users, and was Colorado a medicinal state before it was a recreational state?
I believe it was medicinal. That was when I was still out in New Jersey, and Colorado was just kind of I never really realized I was going to be here. But since I've been here, it is both. And our stores they do cater to both. And while I don't have my med card to be able to buy as a medical patient, I do work on the med side from time to time. And, you know, I really do think that the majority of the med purchasers, the customers, are really indeed patients. We view them that way. I know firsthand, I've seen many of our patients come in and firsthand talk about, you know, someone with Parkinson's, how they can walk, they can talk, they can enjoy life, which they weren't able to do prior to this. A lot of people are just trying to skip opioids in general. They don't want to risk any sort of
Addiction, dependency.
Right. Some of them are just like, screw the man. I don't want to give them our money. And it's really, you know, even last week I had a retired veteran come in. She had tried everything to fix some of her pain issues and it wasn't working. So she's kind of at her last straw and has pushed the rhetoric away. And now she's trying CBD oil. So I'm looking forward to seeing how that's helping her.
So I would imagine once recreational is legal in a state, then you have less medicinal fakers.
Correct.
You know, people don't need to go say, I have a headache, to their doctor and get a pot prescription.
Do you have an ounce to help my headache? Yeah, exactly.
What types of things do you feel people show up at the clinic or at the store for medically?
So the cool kids in Colorado, we call it flower. If you'd look at our purple haze, you would definitely say, hey, that looks like a flower. It's beautiful.
And purple.
And very purple, yes. Lots of compliments on it here this past week with you ACS peeps. You know, I do tend to see a lot of people buy the edibles to really manage throughout their entire day. I have one gentleman who has pointed out that he tries the granola in the morning, then he moves on to the Nutty Bites, then the granola bars in the evening, and then at night he's enjoying something else, right? So the patients are really able to manage themselves. I know people with a lot of chronic pain, they really seem to enjoy the concentrate. So as some of the other cool kids say when they're dabbing, that's just hash, essentially. different forms of it, a little bit more pure. But the CBD.
Now, CBD is the non-THC part of marijuana.
Right. It's non-psychoactive. It's another cannabinoid within the plant. There are many cannabinoids within that plant, THC mm-hmm. being the one that gives us the most fun, CBD mm-hmm. being the cannabinoid that really seems to be the most helpful with pain management, mm-hmm. cancer, headache, mm-hmm. stress, mm-hmm. anxiety, all of those things.
Appetite increase?
Absolutely. Okay. Everything that we are feeling right now, it more than likely will help subside.
Okay.
Or aid
now,
with.
Now, what surprised you the most in your transition from cheese to pot?
You know, I think just I had already realized that it was a cheese counter of a different type. I mean, really, not a whole lot has seemed much different other than the cleanup or the setup. Uh-huh. Inventory.
Easier.
Much
right?
easier. Yeah, no more.
You don't have to rewrap cheeses.
Exactly. I don't have to sit on a cardboard box and freeze my butt off for hours in a lock-in and get blue cheese in my sock, which I do miss, by the way. But with that being said, yeah, no, it's a lot easier and a lot more... I love cheese, but I have loved cannabis for a very long time. It has always made the cheese taste better.
So you're from one love to the next.
Right.
Perfect.
Exactly. Perfect. I mean, perfect pairing items.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Now, what skills do you feel translate best from cheese to marijuana?
Honestly, I mean, customer service. Mm-hmm. That is number one. Discerning what the customer's needs are, making it really approachable. Every cheese counter I've ever worked at, if somebody doesn't really know the product and they are, you know, they're feeling adventurous, they still walk up to it and are afraid to ask questions. They're going to feel dumb. They're overwhelmed. They don't know where to start. And it's the exact same thing. And I've always taken pleasure in finding the right product for the right customer. And so Lucy Sky has been a perfect fit for me. We are known for customer service. We're known mm-hmm. for, you know, asking questions, getting to the meat of what that customer needs and what mm-hmm. they want. And not just picking it out because it sounds correct, but we try everything. We're incentivized, you know, it's our pleasure. Mm-hmm. And then we're able to translate that to the customer and find what's going to suit them best. And mm-hmm. we get a lot of repeat customers because of it.
Now, you are more in a neighborhood than in the tourist district where we've been staying for ACS.
So you have the...
And your sign is not that big.
Correct. We're your almost sign, like a speakeasy.
Yeah. And you have to walk up the stairs to get to the place. And it's just sandwiched between two restaurants.
Yeah, correct.
So you have more of a suburban or...
You know,
local clientele?
Definitely a local clientele. Mm-hmm. There are various websites such as Weed Maps that a lot of people do utilize to mm-hmm. find, you know, where the best dispensary is going to be. Mm-hmm. And we are located in a neighborhood that I think a lot of people come to for the restaurants, for the culture. Mm-hmm. And it does get some tourists. We have two locations. So the one that I work at in Wash Park is definitely a lot more locals, mm-hmm. a lot of people that are just in to eat dinner. Mm-hmm. But we get a ton of kids that are coming through for Red Rock. And when I mean kids, we're talking 21-year-old. I'm just getting older.
Oh, you're on the way to Red Rock?
Well, I think a lot of people just know about us and they pick up and then, you know, they're in town for Red Rock, so they're having fun.
Okay.
But we do tend to have a lot of neighborhood locals, all of the service industry. I love our neighborhood. We all give each other a 10% off block discount.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd say our other location, it's on the Green Mile, mm-hmm. which is South Broadway, full mm-hmm. of dispensaries. Only one really is great, which is, you know, of course, Lucy Sky, corner of Wesley and South Broadway.
A plug for those Denver listeners.
Yes, yes. But, you know, Mississippi Street, Wash Park, that one's pretty great. That's mine.
Right.
But the South Broadway, I'd say they get a little bit more of the tourist traffic.
Okay. Now, how often? Now I'm thinking of focusing on cheese versus pot.
Yes.
How often do you have to buy pot for the store?
Me personally?
No, the shipping.
Ah, gotcha.
Right, the quantities.
You know, I haven't quite gotten into the buying aspect of it now.
Mm-hmm.
Our cultivation facility, it seems like, I mean, it's, it just
is
seemed,
it your own?
Oh, yes.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. We, does every, do most dispensaries have their own cultivation facility?
It doesn't seem like it.
Okay.
You know, this is my only experience with one grow.
Right, right.
But from my understanding, it seems like a lot of dispensaries buy from someone like ourselves.
Okay.
It's just kind of hush-hush on where they're getting it from. You mm-hmm. know, you just get it and take it home and enjoy it, and you pay a little bit more from getting it from them. But
Yeah. And now, are there different tastes? Are there different styles? Is it like cheese?
Is it just
how you do the intake that's different?
All of the above.
Okay.
Did
you know it from the start, or are you still learning?
You know, I actually got to learn a lot from my fiancé.
His name is being mentioned quite a lot, but we don't know his total name.
His name's John. He's a Jersey boy.
Okay.
Ninth cousin to Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good.
Coming to the wedding, I hope.
Okay.
You know, it's almost the exact same thing. You might have a customer who loves wash drains. The next customer, keep them away from them. And
right,
they're
going to
tell
right,
you how gross they are.
Right.
You know, when it comes to cannabis, your nose knows. Absolutely.
Or, okay.
Absolutely.
So some is too smelly for some people.
Absolutely.
But others might like that.
A lot of people can't handle the cheese strains, which I think they sound great.
Now,
smell great.
I have smelled a cheese strain from a friend of a friend, and it is intense.
It's very
intense. Too intense.
But you know what the great thing is? They will smell it and kind of snarl at it, and the minute I mention making it into canna butter and using it on garlic bread or for their Italian dinners,
then they like it.
Oh my gosh, their eyes light up.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So even in that regard,
mm-hmm.
it's just like cheese.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, what about freshness for you? You have, the store has lots of buds. Is that, flowers?
Yes, flower.
Called? Okay.
You are a cool kid, so.
Right.
Yeah.
Flower. And then you've got pills, you've got vapes, you've got, you know.
Single origin extra virgin olive oils. Yes,
right,
everything.
Right. You can cook with it, you can chew it, you can do gummy bears. So what needs to be fresh, and how frequent are the fresh supplies brought in?
You know, it really is according to when we run out, simply,
or
when things go out of date. We had some truffles go out of date about a week ago, and we sold through them, so naturally, like everyone else, you gotta mark it down and hustle them and push them out the door. We just can't nip them apart and make some sort of delicious dip with them, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
The fortunate part is I get to buy them for a penny and take them home and eat them.
Uh-huh.
But it seems
like there's no smoking or eating or anything in
no,
the store.
Yeah,
not allowed.
Absolutely
not
illegal.
Allowed.
No, and I don't function well when I am anyway.
Well,
so.
No, I mean the customer.
Oh, yeah, none
either.
Of us. Nope,
right.
Yeah, Johnny Law's got
everyone is allegedly straight.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, you know, it seems like most of the edibles have about a 6 month to a year shelf life.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the flower's concerned, you know, that beautiful, just kind of like glistening, sticky bud that all of us want, that's just not reality when it comes to a dispensary. It has to dry out because then we're thinking of it evaporating in the back,
so
it's...
So it can't be brand new.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, they essentially kind of have to cure it, let it
they
dry.
Have to age it themselves.
Yeah, exactly. In our caves.
Okay. Now, are you called? What are you called? I want to call you a potmonger.
So most people in Denver are known as bud tenders.
Bud tenders,
yes.
Okay.
Or sometimes I'll say a weed monger, but everyone's like, what's a monger? And I just say, you'll find out eventually. We at Lucy Sky, we consider ourselves cannabis advisors. And, you know, most people that are visiting here this week have approached me and talked about their first experience with a local dispensary. It feels corporate. It feels sterile. They feel like cattle. They're in and out. They're just taking their money. Most dispensaries just hand you an eighth that's pre-packed, and when you leave the store, you can't bring it back. And so as a cannabis advisor, we weigh in front of you. You're able to say if you don't want something, if you do want something, if you want to, you know, you see a particular bud that you think looks great and you want to smoke it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just not typical. We really are there to advise. We are there to listen and talk. And that's really one of the things that separates us from most dispensaries.
Okay. Now would be a good time for us to take a break but we probably won't really take a break. I'm talking to Christina Fleming in Denver about being a bud tender or cannabis advisor at Lucy Sky, and we're discussing the differences between cheese and pot. So go ahead, HRN, give us an advertisement, and we'll be right back.
Today's program is brought to you by the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board. Wisconsin produces the world's best cheese, period. Why? Lush grasslands, glacial water supply, fourth-generation cheesemakers, combining old-world tradition with the new ideas and highest standards. The very best milk. What do you think of when you think of Wisconsin cheese? For me, I think cheese curds, delicious fresh cheese curds, or deep-fried cheese curds. Cheese curds literally any way, anytime, any place. I think about Andy Hatch and Upland's Cheese Company, the operation behind the Pleasant Ridge Reserve cheese that's literally America's most awarded cheese. I think of the deliciously stinky Limburger and its long-storied history. I think about Raleigh's Dumbarton Blue, a perfect blend of English-style cheddar and notes of blue. I think of Emmy Roth's Grand Cru Sirsois, which was named 2016's World Champion at the World Championship Cheese Contest. Wisconsin is like the world champion of cheese, and once you start reading the list of cheeses made in Wisconsin on their website, you can see why. The Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board is a nonprofit organization funded entirely by Wisconsin's dairy farm families. Read more at eatwisconsincheese.com, and as soon as you're done listening to this podcast, eat Wisconsin cheese. It's a no-brainer.
Hi, Stemple here again with Christina Fleming, and I have more questions. So sometimes a cheese store puts their old cheese in a sandwich. Do you guys have any option of what to do with your old buds? Do they get sent back and cooked?
You know, we have a couple of different options. Generally, if it's getting down to the last, I always call them crumblies. I'm sure not technical.
Right.
But when it gets down to the last little bits, we'll sometimes put them on our discount Red Star shelf, which is $25 an eighth, $150 ounce, a total steal.
Oh, okay.
Or we'll basically shake them out and send them to the people that make our concentrates.
Okay.
The different waxes, mm-hmm. the shatters, mm-hmm. the vape pens, and keeps the prices low. It's quite nice.
Are you allowed to do anything with the buds?
In what regard?
Crumble them. Oh, who puts the buds into the joints?
So our grow facility, there's about 20 people that work on that. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the jobs that they do is they fill the pre-roll cones and bring them over to us. Yeah.
And how many different pots will you have featured at a time in pre-rolled joints?
It could be anywhere from honestly one strain to up to six. Okay. It depends on what we're a little heavy on, and sometimes it just depends on the demand. Our neighborhood, we go through them pretty quick.
Okay. Now, what are the favorite strains? Or is it uppers, downers, or mix?
You know, that's the best part. It's really matching what suits the needs of the customer, mm-hmm. and not just, hey, this is what Christina likes.
Right.
As an only child, I could go on that, on about that for a very long time. But it's mostly, you know, they say they want a sativa. Great. So do you want to conquer the world? Do you want to have hazy eyes? Do you want to, you know, just relax all day and be floaty? Or do you want to feel like this was coffee?
So those are the questions you'll ask.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. And of course, like any good cheesemonger, you're putting on a show. You're getting them to bite into.
You laugh. You play off
each other.
Okay, another question.
Yeah.
Is there a holiday rush like there is in cheese where, you know, all your business happens in 3 months of the year?
Yeah, all of our business happens in 2 days of the year.
Oh, 420?
Of course. That was one of my questions. After 13 holidays in cheese, like, what am I going to expect here? How many weeks? You know, like, mentally prepare me. And they're like, oh, yeah, 420. We're busy on that day. There's a new one that I'm learning about. It's 710. That's for the concentrate fans. I don't know much about it just yet. I'm still very new. I'm learning.
July 10th?
Yes, correct.
Okay, so it's passed.
It's gone, yeah. Okay. Yeah, and we celebrated mildly. I think it's a new holiday, so we'll see how it is next year.
Now, the concentrate fans are whom?
you know, people that have just built up their tolerance, okay. or really
they need more.
They need more. Yeah,
and whether they want it for high or pain,
correct?
Or,
yeah, and you know what? Let me backpedal a minute. Okay. It's also for people that really don't want to smoke. They want to use something that they can vape. Mm-hmm. It's also kind of, you know, it's methodical. I think there's some enjoyment to that. Mm-hmm. Additionally, it's really tasty, high potency. You really get a lot of the terpenes off the different strains that way.
Mm-hmm. Are terpenes taste or?
Yeah, their taste, their smell.
Or strong strain.
Yeah, no. Well, both? It depends. Yeah, mm-hmm. I was actually reading an article where they were saying potency. If that's what you're looking for, you're doing it wrong. Mm-hmm. It really is back to that. Your nose knows. If you are really drawn to citrusy, lemony smells, the terpene lemonine, which is found pretty much prevalent in everything, food, cheese, mm-hmm. flowers, mm-hmm. marijuana, flower, I guess. Wait, I got to be a cool kid. If you are drawn to that smell, more than likely you're going to enjoy the euphoria of that high. You just got to think of it as almost like an aromatherapy.
Okay. Now, how do you handle the novice customer? I can remember at Murray's, when we would get a real novice, we would give them prima donna and they'd be very happy.
Yes.
So the person coming in for the first time, maybe either smoked 30 years ago or never, is interested, where do you go with them?
You know, it's once again, picking at the questions, figuring out what they're comfortable, which is the most important thing, first mm-hmm. and foremost. Mm-hmm. Of course, asking, you know, what they're looking to spend. Mm-hmm. There is actually a product called Lucid Mood. Mm-hmm. It is a one-to-one, which would be equal parts THC to CBD. Very, mm-hmm. very light as far as the high that you get. Mm-hmm. So a gentleman who maybe smoked 10 years ago in high school, I'd probably mm-hmm. sell that to him. He can take a couple nips, enjoy it. But then for someone...
What do you mean by nips?
Tiny little puffs.
Oh, okay, puffs.
Just,
okay. Not taste.
Yes, well, and... It is quite tasty, but yeah, no, just little puffs off of it. But then if you have someone who is, you know, I want to smoke pot, I want to smoke
old
weed.
Style.
Yeah. You know, we have different strains. There's, you know, everyone loves Blue Dream, mm-hmm. and Blue Dream's a fantastic one for people who haven't smoked in a while. It's mm-hmm. light, it's mm-hmm. euphoric, it's mm-hmm. airy, you feel mm-hmm. like you're floating.
Mm-hmm. Is it indica or sativa?
It's a sativa-leaning hybrid, mm-hmm. and sativa generally is going to be the more energizing or the upper, which mm-hmm. some people can react to with a lot of anxiety mm-hmm. or just kind of racy. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of a blanket because sativas are all very different. You know, it's my job to try them. I am. The cannabis.
That's a very tough job.
It's really tough.
Now, are you just given the sativas to try or also indicas?
All of them.
Oh.
And yeah, you know, I gotta
so
pace my day.
You can't try them back to back.
I mean, back to the only child, I do what I want, but, you know, I actually pace my day. I'll start off with something like a Durban Poison or Witch's mm-hmm. Weed, mm-hmm. which of course are cross strains, and then move more into like Purple Haze. I've been really loving a strain called Robert Plant lately.
do you start singing Led Zeppelin when you hear
I'm just
it?
Really admiring. He's got a great package. Yeah. I really enjoy how that comes out. And you know, something simple. It's Blue Dream crossed with something called Rebel God Smoke. And that Rebel God Smoke is a little bit of an indica to just plant your butt. And something you'll hear mm-hmm. as, you know, we all the mongers have. Well, mongers, you know, we all have our cheese puns and whatnot. But in the cannabis world, indica... Into couch.
Yes,
so for any of you
yes.
that are wondering what you're looking for.
That helped me memorize it.
Yeah, me too.
I couldn't keep them straight forever. Okay, so what are the ages of most of the customers? Does it run the gamut?
It does. So at our particular dispensary in Wash Park, we're 21 and up because we do share the same room shares between med and recreational. Mm-hmm. Recreational, you have to be 21 or older. Medical, you know, once you've gotten your card, you can be 18 and older. Mm-hmm. Past that, it's endless, the amount of people. I'm almost stuttering just because I'm thinking of everyone I've met in the past 4 months. I've met people from Indianapolis that live on the south side where I'm from, and people uh-huh. that have went to high school with my old roommate from Missouri's uncle in 1973. I do find a lot of the white collars enjoy the pharmaceutical grade cannabis pills.
White collars.
Yeah, yeah. It's either because they maybe it feels normal. I don't know.
Okay.
But they enjoy that. Yeah, exactly. I just tell
they
them
feel
not
like
to crush
gone
it up.
To the doctor.
Yeah, exactly. It feels very in vogue for them. And then we've got, you know, I mean, I've had, and going back to the south side of Indianapolis, I've had, you know, Farmer Joe show up in his suspenders, probably 74, looking for that CBD oil, maybe a pre-roll. So I'm just seeing a lot of people. I'm really convinced this is the thing that's going to unite us.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
We need
oh, my
that.
Gosh, please. The peace pipe
please,
for the entire world.
Now, how long, do you know how long Colorado had medicinal stores before? And did they just skyrocket when it was recreational?
You know, I really don't know.
Oh, because you weren't here then.
Yeah, okay. No. I had, I've been here for about, a little over 2 years now. So that's about the only glimpse of the weed world.
Okay. Now, who do you think makes the money? The producers, the retailers, you know, like in cheese.
Yeah.
Cheesemongers, unfortunately,
yeah,
do not make much money.
Yeah, you know, that's a tough one because I just have one vision right now of the entire industry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, across
you
the
need to go to a conference.
I do.
You
I
need
do.
To go to a pot conference.
The American. Oh, I can't use ACS. I guess American Cannabis Advisors. So ACAS, would that work? It's tough. It seems, you know, at least for us, we pay much above minimum wage, which thank you to Tanisha Bradley, CEO of Lucy Sky, a wonderful human. And so she does pay above minimum wage quite a bit. And then when you get promoted, you get quite a bit more. But it seems like an industry right now where we're just laying the foundation. And I'm not sure where the money is being made, if it's even being made yet. I'd say if anybody's really winning, it's the state of Colorado and the citizens of Colorado.
Right, who are getting the tax money.
Yeah,
right,
yeah. Right. And then everyone that's not going to jail.
Right. Yeah, that's true. I mean, I'm just wondering, as it evolves as an industry, who will make the money and what other industry will they copy?
Yeah.
And, you know, what will the laws be like when it's more, when it's federal? You
so,
know, when
yeah,
it's
no,
no
longer, which will happen. It will.
Because the one state effect, you know, that you can't transport and that it's still federally illegal.
Correct.
Has an impact.
Correct. Well, and you know, one thing that I'm really enjoying in Colorado, when we're in a very divisive part of our history, as we've never done before, but we're at the next level of.
Yes.
You know, one thing here in Colorado, I say we're a purple state. It's very half and half as far as the people that live here. Even between our Republican and Democratic politicians, they both agree on this. They're seeing the value in it. They're both protecting it.
So it's okay in a red state to sell pot.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, red states love money. and it's being utilized.
That's perfect. It's a purple state, and I've seen a lot of purple. And the Rockies have purple as
their
color.
There you go. Yeah, and we're all just living civilly. It's crazy how this is going. It's because we're all high in the mountains.
Well, but did Colorado go for Hillary or Trump? I mean, or Denver?
You know, Colorado and Denver both went for Hillary. During the primaries, we did go for Bernie.
Of course, we all should have.
God bless him. God, and I don't mean that in a southern backhand sort of way.
No.
Haven't removed my sticker yet.
I realized my mistake.
I feel you. I do. I think we all do.
Yeah.
Is this where we start crying?
Yes.
Okay.
I think we might say goodbye, though, instead of just crying to our beer.
Well, I'll just have to go smoke a joint.
Oh.
It'll put a smile on my face.
Now, I do have one more question.
Yeah, please.
The tourists don't have a place to smoke because you can't smoke in hotels, of course.
Yeah.
We're on the mall and there's a lot of homeless people on the mall and I've been told nobody should smoke on the mall because you might get arrested.
Yep.
So where does the tourist go to smoke if they're not at someone's house?
You know, so as everyone has dealt with cannabis for years and years, well, it's illegal.
Yes.
Not that I advise this. It's completely illegal. Do not do this.
Right. Okay.
But in general, people are still just going to, you know, be crafty, find a way to do it.
Just smoke on the street.
Yeah, basically. Okay. Yeah, okay. You should go to some concerts. They don't have fog machines. We are the fog machines.
And there are so many. There are pills. There's chewable. There's...
Correct. Yeah, I mean, the vape, you don't know. Yeah. But, you know, to actually answer your question correctly...
Yes.
It's illegal. It is. Well, yeah. But, you know, if you get caught smoking publicly, it's pretty likened to a jaywalking ticket.
Okay.
And we know how much we get, you know, pulled over for jaywalking. So there's that. Mm-hmm. There are cannabis clubs that you can pay to get in and smoke amongst friends. There's a few hotels. We definitely have bed and breakfasts that, or even Airbnbs where people
Or have a porch.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Okay. Exactly.
So you just had to be in your own place.
Correct.
And usually outdoors, but not at home, not if it's your own home.
Right. Yeah. It's a tough one. You know, we don't advise you to do anything illegal with any of these products.
Well, with the anti-smoking, since cigarettes became illegal, it's very hard. You could sneak a joint in when cigarettes were more legal.
Correct. Yeah. But, you know, we're all wearing shoes. And so I think that happens probably more times than not.
Oh, okay. Okay. So, Christina Fleming, thank you so much.
Oh, my gosh. It's been my pleasure.
Delightful to speak to you about comparing the sale of pot to the sale of cheese here in Denver at ACS.
Yeah, it's been my pleasure. Thank you so much for asking me to come on.
Great.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.